We came here to lift our hands and our hearts in expressions of love and praise. For truly, God, you are worthy of all the praise. But now, God, we need a word, so speak. For your children are listening. Speak, Lord, because we need the light of your knowledge to guide us through these darkened and troubling times. Speak, Lord. Sometimes we get lost along the way. But we know, God, your word will find us right where we are and carry us to where you want us to be. So we anticipate, God, a word from you, a relevant word, an affirming love, an assuring word that allows for us to experience your love once again as you speak to our hearts. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Close to thee, Lord, close to thee. Amen. Amen. Let us all stand for the reading of God's word as we prepare to hear a word from heaven. Genesis chapter 26, verses 1, 12, and 13. Genesis chapter 26, verses 1, 12, and 13. In it we find these words. Now there was a famine in the land beside the earlier famine of Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Hebron. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you." Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. This is God's word. This morning's message is entitled, "Make It Make Sense." Make it make sense. On last Sunday after service, I was approached by a member, and we talked briefly, and she says, "Reverend, you ought to preach a sermon that I've been thinking about in my mind for a long time. There's a lot going on in the world, and a lot of stuff that's going on, I don't know how to make sense of it. Rev, you should preach a sermon entitled, Make It Make Sense." I don't usually take advice from members, but when she said that, something came over me. I tried to deny it. I tried to resist it because I'm Reverend Ronald Tony, pastor of the great Lizzie Chapel Baptist Church of Macon, Georgia. I don't take instructions from members when it comes to the pulpit. It ain't good to know that God has people all over his church, that I'm not the only one who can hear a word from the Lord. So Danielle, this one's for you. And all the people out there who are trying to make sense of what's going on in the world. The condition of the people that they were facing in Genesis chapter 26, it was a time of great famine. There had been for many years, there had been drought, and the people were struggling just to survive. The word was out that Egypt had enough food and supplies to feed and care for the needs of the people in the surrounding area, and it just made sense for people to pack up their belongings and leave the famine land and go to Egypt to survive. But God told Isaac, "Don't you go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for just a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. Stay right here, Isaac, and this is what I want you to do. Plant crops. Just don't sit around and talk about how bad things are. Plant crops. I don't want you to fret over the situation that you find yourself in, no matter how dire it is. I want you, Isaac, I want you to stay right here in the land of famine and plant crops. I don't want you to fret over the situation, nor do I want you to concern yourself about what others are doing and saying, but stay right here and plant crops. Now, Isaac could have said, if he was like me, probably would have said, Lord, this just doesn't make sense. Have you seen the conditions lately? Lord, we're in a famine. Have you checked the weather report? When is the last time that rained here in Palestine? It hasn't rained here for years. Lord, if I start planting crops in a famine, I'll be the laughingstock of Gerar. And the story about a fool who died planting a crop in the time of famine will reach all of Egypt, and my name will be a name to be ridiculed and shamed forever. Isaac could have said that, but he didn't. For the Bible says, Isaac planted crops in the land, and the same year he reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed them. My sisters and my brothers, if you haven't noticed it, these are dark and dreadful times. Inflation is at a 40-year high with no end in sight. Each day the price of gas per gallon goes up and reaches an all-time high. We are paying more for less for essential items in our stores. There have been over 250 mass shootings in America just in this year. And from every indication, just like the economic situation, it appears that things will get worse. And what about the racial situation in America and the world? For me, it's a bit of an enigma in that it seems to have gotten better. Well, at the same time, it seems to have gotten worse. We all know that a member of ours was driving, minding his own business, when a car passing him by shot into his car, wounding him. Thank God the wounds did not kill him, or they were not serious. And just on yesterday, I was in Byron, Georgia, crossing the street to go to a restaurant as a car passed by me and yelled, "Get out of the street, nigga." We could go on about the declining level of civility in politics and the culture in America and the world. We could highlight with greater detail nature's fury as fires and hurricanes and floods and earthquakes are leaving more devastation in its wake. And no one really knows what the political and economic consequences of the war in Ukraine will be. But the question from a member on last week, and I'm certain that many of you also have the same question that you want answered. And I'm not going to answer it from a political perspective, neither an economic perspective. But I'm going to try to do my best to answer the question from a spiritual perspective for all of what's happening in the world to make sense to the church. We need to know what God's view is. You want me to make it all make sense. If we just understood what's going on, Reverend, then we could have a better idea of what we're supposed to do. But until we hear a word from the Lord, we don't know what our response should be. So last week, as I reflected a long time on her question, and can confidently say that I'm not approaching this subject from a special revelation that I received from God. But as I searched through the pages of God's word, my mind fell on God's instructions to Isaac in the time of famine in Genesis chapter 26. And as I read, and as I reread the text, I realized that I could glean from that story a perspective I believe can be used to answer the question. Make it make sense. But for you to understand, I need you to understand that what's happening is nothing new. Every generation has had to go through hard times and difficulties. It may be new to us, but as Solomon said, what has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. And if people, groups, and generations before us have made it through, one thing I know for certain, that if God could do it for them, certainly he can do it for us. Praise his holy name. So I want to offer to you this possibility. And that possibility in these difficult and dark times, that this could be the greatest time in the history of the church in America. God does his greatest work when God delivers his people from a culture and an environment saturated by death. Stay with me now. It was in the time of famine where every aspect of Isaac's culture was drenched with the reality of death. People were not interested in getting an education, starting a business, or wanting to get rich. All they wanted to do was to live. In a famine, the only thing that there is to do is try to survive to the next day. And Isaac was no different. He wanted to live. So he decides to go to the only and do the only sensible thing. And that was what everybody else was doing. Go to Egypt. But God tells him to do something that just did not make sense. He says, stay right here and plant crops. And he gives him a promise. And I will be with you. And I will bless you. Though everyone is under the threat of famine, God wanted a different response from his people. Though everyone was running to Egypt trying to find food and shelter and support to live another day, God wanted a different response from his people. Isaac let the people of Palestine go to Egypt. But because he was a faithful man and a man who followed the instructions of God, he stayed right there in Palestine. People were packing up and leaving with all of their belongings, their possessions on horses and camels and going to Egypt to find life there in Egypt. But here is Isaac with his hoe and his spade planting seeds in the time of a famine. How ridiculous that is. How foolish he must have looked. But while he was saying goodbye to his neighbors, goodbye to the grocer, and goodbye to all of his friends, he was there in the heat of the day, busting dry ground and planting seeds in ground that had not received water in a long time. Make it make sense. It doesn't make sense. Isaac let the people go to Palestine, but he says, I'm going to stay right here in Gerar. Isaac let the people go and give up their land in Gerar and go to Egypt, but I want you, Isaac, to keep your land and plant crops. Isaac, I want to do something special in you. I am your God. I'm not their God, but I'm your God. And I want to prove to them, Isaac, just how great your God is. I want you to stay in Gerar. Stay in Palestine, and while you're there, I'm going to bless you because I will be with you and I will prosper you in a famine land because I am a God greater than all the gods of Egypt.
I am a God who keeps his own in the time of famine. I am a God who prospers his people in dire and troubling times. I am a God all by myself who keeps watch over his own. Let's stop right here in the telling of the story, because it's essential for me to make it all make sense. You need to understand what God is doing. Whenever I heard this text preached or taught, it usually centered on how God blesses us when we trust him. And that's where the meaning of the story ends for most. And yes, it is true that when we trust in God and depend on God, that he will bless us. Somewhere around verses 12 and 13, it says, Isaac planted crops in that land and in the land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. Now, I know that's what you want to hear me preach today, because folks really get happy when we talk about the blessings of God. It also says the man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. I hear saying, preach that, Reverend, preach that. This is the text that is often used by prosperity preachers to convince people to sow into their ministries. But in highlighting this, we miss the greater meaning of the text. And if we're going to make it make sense, we need to understand the greater intent of the story. And we'll find it in verses 3, 4, and 5. It says, stay in the land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. Here it is. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Here it is. And I will give them all these lands, and through your offsprings, here it is, all nations on earth will be blessed. It's not just about us being blessed, but it's about God using us to demonstrate his glory, his power, his grace, and his majesty, his omnipotence, and his grace. And when they see our God treating us like that, somebody ought to come up to us every now and then and say, what must I do to be saved? When God's people are in those environments of death, God blesses us in spite of what's going on, not just to save us and to make our lives better, but God does it for his glory. Sometimes God hems us into corners. Sometimes God snatches things that are so precious and dear to us. Sometimes God leads us to places and then hides himself from us and tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. And when God snatches things for us, it's a time where God wants to use us greater than he has in the past, because people are watching, people are looking, people are observing, people are cynical, people are saying, oh, see what happened. But all of a sudden, when God opens the door, they're going to proclaim with God's people, what a mighty God we serve. When God's people are in those environments of death, God blesses us not just to save us, to make our lives better, but God does it for his glory. For our God is so great that he uses those environments of death to bring new life. You Bible readers know about the valley of dry bones, don't you? I don't need to go through that. You Bible readers know about the grave of Lazarus and the time of death, but God brought forth new life. And surely, if you have been here for at least 6 days, maybe 7 days, you should know what happened early Sunday morning when Jesus stepped out of a borrowed tomb. In other words, God ain't blessing you just for you. God is blessing you for his purpose. And that is to be used by God to bring new life to a dying world. Isaac, I need you to stay and plant crops, for I want the world to know how great a God I am to my people. Isaac, I know that what I'm asking you to do doesn't make sense, but I need you to trust me because I want to use you to show the world my greatness so that coming generations and all nations will know of my greatness and become my people. All that's going wrong in the world, my sisters and brothers, it's not the fault of God. The darkness that's encroached and the death and despair that's so prevalent in the land, it's not because of God. Everything that's bringing heartache and despair is the cause of sinful, selfish, evil, greedy human beings. We are the cause for the darkness of death that prevails in the land. There's enough food to feed every mouth on earth, but people are still starving. There's enough money to provide for the needs of everyone, but there are people still living in extreme poverty. Murders, death, and robberies steal from people their possessions and even their lives because of evil and covetous people. Many people are sick and dying from disease because the pharmaceutical companies have profits, place profits over people. And the major corporations of this world rob the earth of its natural resources, creating an unstable climate that produces devastating storms of destruction. No, everything that we're going through is not God's fault. The dark clouds of death's presence that are hanging over America and the world are not the fault of God, but the fault of people who refuse to worship God, or they think themselves to be their God. And what we are seeing and experiencing are the results of a nation and a world that is trying to exist without God. But God is saying to his people, stay. Stay where you are. I know that there's many voices trying to lure you away from where I want you to be and where I have ordained you and saved you to be. But I want you to stay. Don't run to politics. Don't run to philanthropists. Don't run to the other side of the fence. Don't run away from me. No, don't run to Egypt to depend on their gods. Stand where you are. And don't be fooled by what others are saying and what others are doing. Stay where you are. And don't run to the false prophets and deceitful preachers. But stay where you are and plant crops. Stay where you are. And don't run to the new cultural trends and ideas that are going against my plan for the world. Stay where you are. And hold fast the truths and the values and the principles of your faith that has brought you safe this far. Stay where you are and don't run to Egypt. Because Egypt has never known me. Egypt will never worship me. But Isaac, church, stay where you are and plant crops. Not plant a crop. Plant crops. If you hadn't been aware of it, I will make you aware of it right now. There's a spiritual famine in the land, but I need you to stay where you are and plant crops. Don't just come to church and think everything's hunky-dory around you. No, stay where you are. But after the benediction, plant some crops. Stay where you are and keep being renewed in your faith and affirmed in your spirit. But when you leave here, don't become satisfied that you have done your religious responsibility by coming to church. No, that's only half of it. Plant crops. The church has a future. Plant crops. That's what he's trying to tell Isaac here. Plant crops means that there's a future ahead. God knows that in the midst of death and destruction, when everybody is a naysayer and there's nothing good and fulfilled with joy and life and everyone's singing a sad song, God says, plant crops in a spiritually barren land because there is a future. The church will prosper and fulfill its purpose. Plant crops. Plant crops of righteousness. In other words, keep doing the right and the righteous thing. Keep speaking the truth in this culture of lies. Plant crops. Keep loving your neighbor when your neighbor is disagreeable and no longer loves you. Plant crops. Stop talking about what's so bad in the world and start talking about the glorious possibilities of those who are in Christ. Plant crops. Stop blaming your wife, blaming your husband, blaming your jobs, blaming politicians, what's wrong in the world, and start looking to God to find what we can do, what you can do to bring the glory of God in this place. Plant crops. Stop whining and complaining and start praying and serving. Plant crops. For this can become the greatest time in the history of the church in America. And my God has a way of flipping the script. When everybody thinks it's going downward, God is getting ready to take us up. Didn't I? Jesus says, you want to go up? You got to first go down. Praise his holy name. And aren't you glad that Jesus lets us know that if you want to go up, you go up on the cross. But before you can be translated into the presence of God and receive the power, the glory, and the grace of God, you've got to go down into the grave. And when you go down into the grave, God will lift you up for early Sunday morning. He rose with the power of heaven and earth in his hands. We're going down, but that's not the end of the story. God will bless us, and he is with us. So God has called us to plant crops in the time of famine. And we are here in this spiritual famine. And God is positioning his people in this spiritual famine to plant seeds of righteousness that will produce a harvest of souls. Churches have been planning and strategizing and co-opting their faith to become more user-friendly. They have been given up. They have given up the standards and the principles of their faith. And you can't hardly tell a singer who sings in church from a singer who sings in the world. We have co-opted and we are becoming unlike the world and no longer are the strange, unique, and peculiar people that God has called us to be. For it's in our strangeness and our peculiarity that God draws people to himself. For years, the church has lost its influence in the world because we have tried to be like the world. But God is saying, come out from among them and be ye separate. And while you're coming out, plant crops. For in a little while, ain't that what God told Isaac? I will be with you for a while. And if you read the text very closely, you will discover that he became rich and wealthy. That same year, God blessed his crops with 100-fold production. And that everything that he planted in the seed and the soil blossomed and grew. This is what God will do for us. And this is what God is doing for us in a little while. This is what God is doing in a sinfully turbulent time. People have walked away, but God is calling them back. We see darkness, but God sees light. For God is still the light of the world. He is still the God who can speak to the dark world of chaos and disorder and say, let there be light. We see death, but our God is a God who breathes his spirit of life into the souls of men and women. Praise his holy name. So my sisters and brothers, this is not a dire hour. This ought to be a glorious hour because God's getting ready to do something that is beyond our imagination. Ain't God all right? This is our season. No, not our season to become wealthy and rich, but this is our season to prepare God's kingdom for the last great harvest of souls before the return of our Lord Jesus. Ain't God all right? God is about to be glorified through his people who are called by his name. So God is calling us to stay and to stand. Stay and stand. Stay together, stand together, stay on the path of righteousness and stand for justice and truth. Stay on the battlefield for our Lord and stand firmly in your faith. Yes, God is able to do great things. Praise his holy name. This is not the end. This is the beginning. Praise his holy name. Every ending demands a beginning. Things ain't like they used to be. Things have changed dramatically. But this ain't the end. There's always a tomorrow with God. For God is a God of forever. Yeah, make it make sense, Riven. This is what God is doing. God ain't through with us yet. God is still doing great things. Still, morning by morning. New mercies, we will see. Ain't God all right? So stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. And I come to tell somebody, it won't be long. Stay for a little while, for God is with us. Praise his holy name. It may not look like it right now, but God is with us. And though it may not look like it at this time, God is going to bless us in just a little while. People are saying that the church is dead, but the devil is a liar. God would cease to be God if his church died. But the Spirit of Christ is here this morning to remind us that Jesus says, on this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall never, never prevail against us. And when the devil thinks he has won the battle, and it appears as if the dark shadow of death has gotten the victory, God will use the very weapons of death that were made to destroy God's people and transform them into a weapon of death or a weapon of life. Ain't God all right? Yes, God is able to do amazing things. God is able to confound the wise and to confuse the ignorant. God is able to take that which is used for bad and use it for good. Yes, God is able to do amazing things, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Do you believe it? Do you know him? Have you tried him today? He's able. He's able. For he took the cross, an instrument of death, and there he allowed them to nail his son in his hands and in his feet. There he was, ridiculed and persecuted. There he was, scorned and denied. Yeah, but there he was, right where God wanted him to be. And there he died. He died a sinner's death. He died the death of a thief. He died a death of shame and remorse. Yes, he died. The old folks said he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders and died. He died. Yes, he did. and the devil was high-fiving each other. They were having a party in hell. We got him. We thought that he could do great things, but he's just like everybody else. And there he died. Yeah, went down into hell and started doing something that nobody else did. He began to preach about the coming of the Lord. I am the one that you've been waiting for. I am the one that God told you about. I am the one who's come to set the captives free. I am the one, the great liberator of all mankind. David, do you want to be saved? Jeremiah, do you want to be saved? Adam, do you want to be saved? Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Ye died, but early, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth. And now, when I look at the cross, yes, I'm saddened by what they did to my Lord. But now, when I look at the cross, that instrument of death, I don't see death anymore. I see life. Was at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now, now, I'm happy all the day. Make it make sense. All I know that God ain't through with us yet. Make it make sense that everything that's going on in the world, God knows just what's going on. Make it make sense. I may not be able to tell you all about economics and politics, but I do know about God, because God is a savior. God is a deliverer. God has all power in his hand, and he's all right. And the devil will be defeated. Darkness will give way to light. Death will bring forth life. Ain't God all right? Yeah, I'm through. That's all I got today. But I've come to thank God, because God has a way already made for those who trust him and look to him. Any all right? Any all right? Any all right? Any all right?